I invite you to pray with me and for me as I begin this message. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Oh God, you are our rock and our redeemer. God, as always, I invite you to speak through me and in spite of me. May my words contain your truth. God, we love you and we thank you. And we give you this time as we open ourselves up to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is the first of a couple of weeks where we're going to be talking about generosity and stewardship. And I wanted to start by just a disclaimer, first of all. I need to hear this message just as much as anybody in here. I have tendencies of really needing to break out of patterns of not being generous. And so I start by saying this is for me as well as anybody else. But I have a wonderful opportunity each week to visit folks from our congregation that can't make it to church. Many of you might be watching online, and so welcome. Welcome to the folks watching online. Where are they? Oh, they're up there. Hey, folks watching from home or from wherever you are. And one of the questions that I get asked when I go and I visit with folks, it's a question that might be on some of your minds as well. And that is, Pastor, how is the church doing financially? And I want to answer really honestly, you know, but not grimly, right? Not despairingly or don't want to just kill the whole visit, you know. Like I've got communion too, so. But I say, well, we've had a really hard time, you know, with COVID and then coming back from COVID, and so we're a bit behind. And then last Sunday was All Saints Sunday, and we had a whole lot of saints, loved ones that have now transferred to the Church Triumphant. And they're no longer with us. And so we feel that, you know, financially. But then in the same breath, I want to say very encouraging things like, but there's such a sweet spirit at Colonial Hills. And the kids at the day school, they come in at chapel, and the kids from the CDC, and we've seen some of those families in worship, and it's really awesome. There are these opportunities that we have. There's all kinds of things that we're doing. There's a lot of love, and there's opportunities to serve in the community, and we feel really, you know, just really good about the future. But it takes all of us being in that together. And we're at our very best when we're generous. We want to be remembered as the kind of people that gave when there was an opportunity to give. You know, we want to be kind of the kind of people that were remembered for our generosity, defined by that. That's who we are. People that love Christ, people that know that it's all a gift, that all these things are a gift. John Wesley, he said that there were three rules for money. You know what they are? The first one you'll love is make all you can. Woo! All right. Make all you can. That was the first one. The second one, save all you can. Everybody's like, yeah, all right. And then the third one, give all you can. And with that spirit in mind, you know, there are a couple ways of looking at things. You know, one is, you know, the church, they're always asking for money. There's always something they're asking for money for. Now we have this gifts of the heart. They're asking for money. That money's going to go locally in the community, you know, for Habitat and for folks in need that we find, for Christian Assistance Ministry and for the refugees that settle into our area, our neighborhoods. And they're always asking for money. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is, you know, I've made all that I could. I've saved all that I could, and I was just looking for an opportunity like this. That's another way of seeing that. So I'm encouraged when I think about that, and when I think that it is all a gift. We give to God through the church, and it's up to the church to be good stewards of those resources. And that's why we send out commitment cards. And then when the commitment cards come back, the people that put they're generous with their time and their talents and their energies, they fix the budget. They look at the budget for the next year. I see Ruth back there working on the budget for the church. How is it that we are good stewards of our resources? And so that's part of it. Our giving. We want to be generous people. We have a need to be. We're deep within us. We want to be known as people that were willing to share, to be generous, to give. But I speak for myself and maybe others when there are two other voices that come into the mix. There are two other voices. And it's one is the voice of fear. You know, if I give, maybe I won't have enough. Maybe I won't have enough for all the things that I need. And that's scary, you know? And there's another voice there too, and it's the voice of pleasure. If I give, then maybe I won't have all the cool stuff that I want, right? Those voices are there all the time. And they've always been there. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, I was just reading this morning. Sometimes Sunday mornings early, I like to just open up to a page and read it, whether or not it has anything to do with what I'm going to talk about today. And sure enough, the Message translation, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not so be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works, they fuss over these things. But you know both God and how He works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. There is a long, long tradition among God's people, going all the way back to the very beginning, of giving to God, giving an offering. You know, the first one that brought a tithe, a 10% gift, you know the first one in the Bible to do that? Anybody know? It was Abram, who became Abraham. And after a battle where they won miraculously this battle, he meets a mysterious priest called Melchizedek. Melchizedek is known as the Prince of Peace, the King of Salem. Salem is the word for peace, which would become Jerusalem. And in Genesis 14, we get this instance that Melchizedek, King of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." And then, here it is. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. He was the first one to give a tithe. And then later this gets codified into the law of Moses. God's people would have these festivals where they would offer their first fruits. They would give a tenth of what they had. And that became something that's written in the Bible. The scripture says to give that. And we are not under the law of Moses. But most Christians still find this as a good guide, you know, to work towards tithing, 10%. And so for some of you, that's like, oh, that's, man, you just don't want to start necessarily with that. Maybe you can work yourself up to that and maybe even beyond that. John Wesley began giving a tenth, and then he set aside something for his living, for his wages, and then when his wealth grew, he stayed the same with his needs and began to give more than a tenth. Maybe it's something that you work up towards or work beyond, I wonder how God sees that or how God saw that with His people then and now. And there's a pastor, David Slagle from Atlanta, who made this really graphic illustration of this. And he said, your wealth, your stuff is kind of like represented by these apples. You know, we have a limited amount, and here they are. So you have apples. This is for shelter, you know, safety, your home, you know, and taking care of your family. There's taking care of your family, and there's also food. Have you been to HEB lately? I need a couple more apples there. Yeah, so there are my apples there from HEB. And then there's, you know, we want to help others and in the community, give to friends, and there's gifts and all kinds of things like that. And then you know, maybe saving some for emergency fund or medical stuff, and we put some away for retirement. And this is, you know, miscellaneous. You know, you gotta have some, you know, miscellaneous apple here. Things come up, you know, and inflation and everything else. And then this one, the tenth one, or maybe the first one, we give to God. And we'll put that right there. And it's enough for all of our needs. And then the voices come in, and society, you know, takes us different directions, and there's lots of advertising and lots of things, and we begin to realize that the nine apples, they're not enough for us anymore, because they're things that we really want. And there's this trip that I was wanting to take, and it's really important, it's really special, and God won't mind. I mean, God understands, right? If it's going to be really good for the family, and we're going to have a great time, and you know, God's going to be understanding. He won't mind. It's going to be okay. And Christmas is coming, and I really, really put a whole lot away, and so I'm going to have to maybe take a little bit more of God's apple for that. Because things are expensive, and I want, you know, a lot of stuff under the tree this year. That'd be great. And then we have some other expenses that came up, and we really didn't put anything aside for them. I don't have to get that. And once again, God will understand. God won't mind. But this is so good, by the way. It tastes so good. Man, well, it's really hard not to eat this one. This is the second one I've had today. Well, it's really hard not to take another bite, because, man, that new record came out. I could lick records. I'd be ashamed not to buy that one. Well, God's money. And so basically what we do is we say, okay, God, this is for you. I think God understands when we're all in different places with that, but that's where the concept or the idea of first fruits really helped me out. Because first fruits means that with all of your stuff, all your substance, you're to take the first fruit and give that to God first, and then you won't miss it. It won't even be there. You'll have enough when you look at all the other resources. That's the first fruit. And there's this concept that has to do with being open and giving. It's kind of how it works with life in God's economy, and in just in general. This beautiful wisdom from Proverbs puts it like this: honor the Lord with your substance. Oh, what a neat word that is, with your substance, or your stuff, substance. And with the first fruits of all your produce. And then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. The word for first fruits in Hebrew is bakirim. Bakirim literally means promise to come. It's promise to come and God giving to God, and then God does good with it in the world, and we get to take part in that sharing as well. If Christians did that all over the world, what good we could do. Can you imagine? I mean, world hunger, fresh water, all the things that we'd like to do, that we pray for, would be able to be accomplished. It starts with us. The first fruits, the promise to come. We are here because others gave to help that to happen. It's a concept that I learned back in kindergarten. You know that old expression, everything you need to learn, you learn in kindergarten? And I remember the first day of kindergarten. I was scared. I came in, and I wasn't scared for long. And my mom, she's probably crying out in the hallway. I didn't see that perspective. I wasn't crying. I was happy to be there. And I sat on a carpet with the other kids. And I don't remember much about that day, but I remember this song that my kindergarten teacher sang to us and helped us to learn how to sing. And it's been stuck in my mind for 42 years. That does the math. I'm 48. I was five. And so I wanted to teach it to you and to share it with you. And it's something that we sing every week on Wednesday morning in chapel. And I know Riggs was here earlier. He's probably his second story. He would sing along, and all the kids sing along. And I got my friend Mark to learn it this morning. So help us to get started on it. This is, I want to tell you a little bit about it. It's called The Magic Penny, or Love is Something If You Give It Away. That's the idea. Love is something if you give it away, you keep on having more. And then I remember being really little and imagining holding on to a penny and holding it real tight. And that's all I would have is a penny if I held it real tight like that. It says, lend it, spend it, you'll have so many, they'll roll all over the floor. You know, I'm real literal as a little five-year-old. I just imagine all those pennies rolling back in my direction. And yet that concept is there. I think that's what the verse in Proverbs was saying, that lend it, spend it, you'll have so many, they'll roll all over the floor. So with that little introduction, let's sing that together. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you keep on having more. It's just like a magic penny, hold it tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, you'll have so many, and roll all over the floor. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you keep on having more. Let's sing the chorus again. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Yeah, love is something if you give it away, you keep on having more. It's just like a magic penny. Hold it tight, you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, you'll have so many. They'll roll all over the floor. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you keep on having more. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this truth about generosity. God, we take our lives and we place them in your hands, and we ask that we would open up, that your voice would be the one that we hear, that there is enough. God, we thank you that we are able to not be stuck with just what we want, what we need, what we're acquiring, but also to give, to be people that are generous, created in the image of you, who give us everything for our needs and for our enjoyment. God, may we trust in you with our lives, with our time, with our resources. And God, we thank you for the blessing that it is to build together, to join others in consecrating our gifts, knowing and trusting that we are better together than we could be on our own. God, we love you and we thank you for these blessings. May they overflow and roll all over the world. God, in your love, we pray. Amen.